Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Okay, more this week on the four warnings from Colossians. You know, I only get 15 minutes, so much small talk only takes away from my opportunity to share with what the Holy Spirit wants to share with us. So let us get right back into that fourth warning right away, which is, let no man disqualify you of your reward. So now let's open up our spirit, and as we look at Colossians 2, 18 through 19. And Paul writes here, let no man beguile or disqualify us of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in these things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, who is Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Now the reward here is not salvation or heaven. Oh no, it's not. The reward here is Christ. And my friend, Christ is always our reward. Paul is talking about the positive results of being in Christ. Here Paul says that no man should be allowed to render a judgment against us that would disqualify or beguile us from the reward of Christ. Now, that would be on earth and some glorious day in heaven. Now, there are a number of critical things here in these verses that we must take a close look at. The first is, Christ is not the king of the body. Let me say that again. Christ is not the king of the body. Christ is the head of the body. Now, this is critical to our reward. If Christ was king of the body, then we would be like the angels, servants without a will, robots to do the, you know, the Lord's good pleasure. But we are not, repeat, we are not angels. We are humans created in the image of God. Humans mastering this earthly existence. Not angels, but joint heirs with Christ. Paul in Romans 8:17 tells us, And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8:17. I said the S word, the suffering word. Suffer with Christ? Wow, who wants to suffer? Well, my friend, the condition to be a joint heir and to be glorified with Christ is to suffer with Christ. Now, not too many Christians and some believers I know want to suffer with Christ. Oh, no. Recently, Karen and I were at a missions conference, and the guest speaker was a pastor from Pakistan. Well, he had a message for the Church of America, and that was, hey, Church of America, suffering is a normal part of the Christian lifestyle. Now, I really enjoyed his heart, but sadly, most of the people in attendance, they missed his depth of wisdom and knowledge that is only found being in Christ and only found by suffering. Another point to consider from these verses, and notice how the enemy, that would be Satan or man, will try to do this through voluntary humility. The Greek here means to delight in humility, or you do whatever you think you need to do to make yourself humble. And then, having supposedly made yourself humble, you take pride and confidence in that. Pride is subtle, my friend. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest sources of spiritual pride for most Christians is the humility. Let me say that again. One of the biggest sources of spiritual pride for most Christians is the humility. And of course, none of this is real humility. True humility is not accomplished by putting ourselves down or fasting or any of that pseudo-spiritual thing. Oh no. True humility is the product of seeing Jesus Christ. Wow. True humility is the product of seeing Jesus Christ, because when we really see Jesus, we cannot help but to be humble. But false teachers like the Mike Murdochs, the Benny Hinns, and the Kenneth Copelands, and all of those guys from the apostate church will offer alternatives to Christ or Antichrist. Now, not against Christ, oh no, but another Christ. They will give you principles to follow that will supposedly make you humble. But one such principle is submission to authority. Oh, yeah. So, false teachers like the Goddards and all the other heresy movements, like the Shepherdian movement, promises that this is a way that it would become humble. But no, that will not work. Now, I do not have the time to go into all of their foolishness, but for sure the main problem is you can submit to authority and do it completely outside of Christ in you. God wants us to submit to Him, but the result is not that our pride is crushed. Oh no, the result is that our flesh is crushed and we are raised in newness of life, in real freedom in Christ. And of course, all we know that, you know, we cannot be humble by keeping the law, not even God's law. To be honest, if we look at legalism and the keeping of the law, we will find that most legalism is nothing more than an attempt to duplicate the life of Christ through works. That's what we see in all of these denominations. Again, we make ourselves humble by looking at Christ. See Him, and we will see our hopelessness, and then we will be open to His grace. Our attempt to duplicate the life of Christ outside of Him is a way to create self-righteousness and a humility by what we do. We know we are supposed to be humble as Christians and act humble, but according to Paul, all of these kinds of things only rob us of our real reward, which is oneness with Christ. And again, that's right. Christ is our reward. Paul also says here, the enemy, Satan or man, will try to get us to intrude into those things we have not seen, vainly puffed up by our fleshly minds. How easy it is to think that, you know, that we know lots of teaching that will be equal to knowing Christ. Well, wrong. And this is true with regards to even true teachings. But how much more is it equal to knowing Christ? And the fact is, if we do not know Christ, eventually our teaching about Christ also will suffer. Here Paul is also warning us against any fascinations with facts and history and doctrines and supposedly secret truths that we might use to make ourselves special. He is warning us against thinking that we are an elite group, or we belong to an exclusive company, or we have something in Christ because of our merits. Oh no, if we hold fast to the head, who is Jesus Christ, you know, and we will not be holding fast to some things that we used as a claim to fame. And if we are holding fast to the head, who is Jesus, we will not be holding fast to a part of the body as being better than another part. I hope you get this, my friend. Again, Christianity is Christ in us. We are not more special than another. Christ is more special in each of us. Let me say that again. We are not more special than each other, but Christ is special in us. Every one of God's people have the same access to God by His grace. You know, one of the greatest sins of the Christian church has been to use the things of God for their own glory and for their own profit. If we do, my friend, that will be our reward, and it will never, ever be Christ. God would rather have us let no man beguile us of our reward. That man often, my friend, can be us. And the solution is to hold fast to the head of who is Christ and let go of everything else that does not serve God's purpose in our life. Amen? Next week, we will do a little review and then we will get into what I believe Paul's intention was in writing the book of Colossians. More next week on the four warning from the book of Colossians, and then that little, that little perspective. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week, and this teaching is helping you. It's helping to change your life, and it's helping you to see Christ high and lifted up. Because again, salvation and Christianity is Christ in us, the hope of glory. God bless, and I will talk to you next week. Amen.